Grand. Grand. Same as usual. No news.
Good.
I don't think I have any news anyways.
Right. No, I bought the kids on a school trip. Actually, yesterday. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I held a snake.
Good job.
I had a cockroach. I nearly got fucking sick. The snake was fun. I was actually living for the snake, to be honest. But the cockroach, because it started to like walk up my arm and I was screaming my head off. And the kids thought it was hilarious. And I'm like, this mental anguish should actually not be funny to you. But it was actually fucking huge as well. Do you know if you get afraid, like your initial reaction is to like throw it off, yeah, or like, I don't know, not crunch, but don't your like hands kind of ball?
Yeah.
Like they kind of ball up a little bit. I thought it was going to squish the cockroach. And I don't know what would happen because, like, it's not my insect. It's the green planet. Very cool. We got to see a mommy and baby sloth. It was honestly 10 out of 10. And yeah, I don't know if I would have gotten in trouble. I probably would have. Like, would I have had to buy them a new cockroach because I murdered their own one? I don't know. Like, what way does that work?
I don't think so. Like, I don't think so. I think they've probably just been like, don't do that again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, they definitely just have millions out the back, like. I feel like they probably use them to feed other animals, like.
Probably. Because it was fucking huge. Like, it was, honestly, it was about, like, that big.
Yeah, they're massive.
Massive. So it was. And it was, like, yellow and black.
I feel like they're really intelligent or something.
I think they are, but apparently, I remember I was in school and our biology teacher, now I don't know if Fintan was telling me the truth, he could have been lying for all I know, but he said cockroaches are basically the worst of the worst because they will survive anything. Like, they've been found in nuclear reactors, so like,
oh yeah, that's Chernobyl type everything
type shit, and they're fine.
Yeah,
not a bother on them. Like, literally not a bother on them.
Yeah, no, they survive everything.
So, bastards.
Like, if you chop their heads off, they just die of starvation rather than actually just dying.
Oh.
That's gross, like.
That is gross. That's really fucking gross. I just, insects in general, I actually can't be bothered. Like, just get away from me. I remember the other day I tried to save spider's life. I wasn't going to squish it like I usually do. I put them on the balcony, but then a big gust of wind came and knocked them off it, so I don't know if I'm an accessory now to manslaughter or what way that works. But
maybe that's ants, but I know ants, like, they can't die from falling because their body mass is like too little or something, that they just land normal.
Oh.
So maybe hopefully. I mean, I feel like if a spider's whole job is to like live up high, like, I feel like,
yeah, it can't die from falling. Like, it was up 25 stories, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, if a big gust of wind came and just say like the force of it like smacking into the side of a building or something, I don't know.
Let's hope.
For any scientists out there, answer the question for us, please. So I want to know, like, am I due bad karma? And if anybody is curious, Svana still isn't back with us. She is still in giblets because she just came out of surgery there recently. And then she deserves some, like, R&R time. She has friends coming to visit. She's going to be going travelling and stuff like this. So it's going to be me and Kiva just for a while. And yeah, today we have 2 cases. Very. Do you reckon we should roll like how we used to, like back in season 1, to see who goes first?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Okay, so I'll get up a dice. Do you want to be odd or even?
I don't know. Odd.
You want to be odd? Okay. So I'll just say 10-sided. Or no, we used to do 20-sided dice, didn't we?
Yeah, we used to 20, and it used to be that you were above 10, and I was below 10.
And why is my internet? Oh, because I fucking turned it off. If I had a brain, I would be dangerous. Like, I'm after getting really bad in the, like, last couple of days. Like, I could be reading something and then 2 minutes later I will completely forgot what I'm after looking up in the first place. Right, Kiva, so it is a 15. So it's you.
Okay.
Are you ready? Are you steady?
Ready, steady. So, I'm doing... And I keep fucking up the pronunciation because we have a place in Ireland with the same name and it's pronounced Delphi here, but they pronounce it Delphi in America. Okay. So if I fuck up and call it Delphi, because I feel like that's my automatic like way of reading the thing.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
So the Delphi... I've done it. I've done it immediately. They're also known as the Snapchat murders.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say this is based, like it's a fucking movie, but this is set... That's not much better. It happens in Indiana, the state of Indiana, in a small town of Delphi. There's like 3,000 people there. It's small as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of like farming land, you know, around. Like, it's a real like country place. Okay?
Yeah.
Abby Williams and Libby German, they were classmates in school. Or, well, they were in school together. Abby was 13 and Libby was 14. They went to the same middle school. They were best friends. They played sports together. They played volleyball. They were going to be on the same softball team together. They both played saxophone in the school band. Like, they did everything together.
They were literally, like, attached at the hip, like.
Literally. Libby was much more outgoing than Abby was. Abby was much quieter, more reserved, whereas Abby was, like... Or Libby was very outspoken, so they kind of balanced each other out.
Mm.
Yeah, and they used to hang out together after school, all this kind of stuff. So on February 12th, which was a Sunday, 2017, they spent the evening painting together. They hung out with Libby's sister, Kelsey, mm-hmm. who had her friends over, and they hung out, they watched movies, the two girls were painting, etc., etc. So the next day was the 13th, and it was a Monday, and the two girls had school off. They didn't say why, but I feel like, I don't know, do Americans have bank holidays or something? I don't know.
I'm assuming they do.
Yeah, so the next day was a Monday, and they had the day off, so they were like, right, we're going to do something different. Like, we're not just going to sit inside. It's a nice day. We're going to go do something.
Come on, yeah, let's go out and do something. Yeah. Yeah.
There's these old, like, historic trails around the town. And the two girls said that they go for a walk there, that they take pictures because it's real, like, picturesque. And they asked Kelsey, Libby's sister, like, oh, do you know, will you give us a lift over? You know, you can hang out with us, whatever. And Kelsey said no, that she had work to go to, that she wouldn't be able to, like, hang out with them there. But she said she didn't mind dropping them. Yeah, she said, I don't mind dropping you, but you're going to have to organise a lift home.
Right,
so
okay.
They went and asked Libby's grandparents, they asked... their dad, and the dad said, fine, I'll collect you at about 3:30 if Kelsey drops you at about, you know, 1:30.
So yeah, they were so like very early, like in the day.
Yeah, so we'll get a couple of hours, we'll come home, we'll have lunch, and we'll be able to hang out around the house then.
Yeah,
the
still
evening.
Nice and bright, like not like danger zone times.
Yeah.
Like in the evening. Yeah, in the evening.
It's very early afternoon. It's February, like, I mean, it's not going to get any brighter. So
yeah,
the trail they went to was the Monan Highbridge Trail, and part of this trail, it kind of like followed on like the old line of a train tracks. So part of it crossed over this really wide, you know what? They called it a creek. It's like, you know, those really wide American rivers that are like kind of shallow.
Yeah.
It was one of them. Yeah. Like, that's a river, man. I'm sorry. So.
Yeah. Or a large stream.
Yeah.
But definitely not a fucking creek. Like, creeks are big.
I would say creeks are small.
No, or am I wrong?
I would say creeks and streams are like, a stream is smaller than a creek, and then a river is bigger than a creek.
Like, I knew that creeks were like smaller than a river, but not.
But then you think of American rivers.
That it's like a step above a stream.
When you think of American rivers, like, I'm probably thinking of Irish terms where like our rivers are probably streams to them.
Do you know what that's actually? Yeah, that's very fair.
Did you ever watch the movie Stand By Me?
Yes.
You know that the train track bridge that they had there where the lads nearly got run over by the train? There's a bridge like that, obviously, the Monan Bridge Trail, along it, and it's really fucking high, like it's really tall above the river, the creek, as they call it.
The creek, yeah.
But you weren't meant to walk over it because the sleepers, you know, like the
yeah.
the slats, we'll say, were wooden. So, I mean, obviously, it was an abandoned train track. So, like, how fucking old are they there?
Like, you know, they're slapping, like, when they're on that.
Yeah. So they were told, like, people were like, you're not meant to walk across it, but obviously everyone fucking did because, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, nobody listens, right?
No. The area is really, like, picturesque. It's really pretty. So people used to go there. They used to go there to, like, take photos for weddings and, like, prom and stuff like that. Like, it was proper, like,
right,
it was a proper, like,
a heritage site kind of thing.
Yeah, like, it was a real spot to go to take nice pictures. So the girls were mad to go take photos, and they were like, right, Kelsey's going to drop us up at about 1:30, and then we've 2 hours there to take a heap of pictures, right?
Yeah.
Off they went. Kelsey dropped the girls off at about 1:35, and Libby posted a picture of Abby on the bridge at 2:07 p.m. on Snapchat. Basically, that was what they were there for. They were like, we're going to take a heap of pictures, we're going to post them all over our stories and look like we're having the best ever fucking lives.
Make people jealous.
Yeah, exactly.
We were having a fucking fab day when we weren't in school.
Oh my god, what filter?
Who are we? Models.
What filter are we going to use? Like, we're going to be looking fucking class. And they did. They actually had really cool little outfits on. Like, very, like, you know, like back like in the day, like 2017, you're in middle school outfits, like you're wearing Vans. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, they put on their nicest clothes that I wear. We're having a fucking photo shoot, my girl.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be looking well.
We're going to be looking well.
The background's going to be looking well.
Yeah, it's going to be like candid photos, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 10:10, right? Yeah, she posted this picture of Abby on the bridge at 2:07 p.m. on Snapchat. But then she also saved a video. So, no, you know, like, obviously, you know, with Snapchat, you can take a video. And if you don't want to post it, you can save it to your, like, not your memories, but you can save it into the app, we'll say, right? So.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So she did that, but it was a video of a man walking towards them over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So this man was wearing blue jeans, this navy like windbreaker kind of thing, like over like a jumper, and what looked to me to be like a paddy cap,
like a cap. Yeah,
yeah, it didn't look like an actual cap, it looked like more of like a peep cap, but anyways, it was kind of grainy, so it's kind of hard to tell. So anyways, yeah, 3:30 comes around and Libby's dad showed up to collect the two girls, and the girls never showed up. He was trying to ring them, they weren't answering, this kind of stuff, like their phones were off and he couldn't get through to them. So
yeah,
Kelsey was supposed to be going into work at 4:30 and she has missed calls from her grandmother at about 4:10 and she was like, I watched an interview, what was her name, oh my god, I'm after Kendall Ray interviewed her sister.
Yes, I know her.
She interviewed Kelsey. So this is what Kelsey said, that she said that she got a call at about 4:10 and then she missed another call, and she was like, it was really weird for her grandmother to ring her when she knew she was going into work, so she was like, something's happened.
Yeah.
So she rings her grandmother back and she's like, we can't find the girls, have you heard from Libby? So Kelsey's like, oh fuck's sake, the girls are after getting lost or something in the woods. So she rings her work, she says, I'm not coming in, I have to go find my sister, and she goes to help search. Libby's parents, or Libby's grandparents, went to the police station and got onto the police, and everyone started searching. They searched until literally midnight with Kelsey leading the search, because she was the girls, you know, she was an older sister. She probably would have shown the girls like a lot of the cool spots that like the older kids would have gone to.
Yeah, like showing like, oh, here's where like I used to go with my friends type thing.
Yeah, so she was like, I knew all the places that they would have gone. So she was able to show the police like, you know, search there, search here, she'd probably have gone there, you know.
Yeah.
So at this stage, the police were like, there's no foul play. Like, they were really definite about it, which it's kind of
that's a bit fucking weird early on, like.
Yeah, like, you don't know. Like, I mean,
no.
Especially for it to go on that late, like, the girls, I mean, how bad is your sense of direction that you can't find your way out of a place that you've been 100 fucking times?
Multiple times.
So they kind of thought like, right, the girls definitely just got lost while they were exploring, like they went too far off the trail or something like that, or they've fallen, they've gotten trapped somewhere, they've lost their phones, you know, which I mean, I guess fair as well, but at the same time, it's kind of been, fuck what, 7 hours, it's kind of, would you not be kind of worried? So
because it's not like, they're good kids, like, not to say the fucking, you know, whatever, but they only went out for 2 hours when they knew that they were going to be collected for 3:30. Like, I doubt that it was going to be like a runaway type situation, or they're going to be like, nah, do you know what, we're going to stay out a little bit extra late, when they knew like one of the fathers was going to come pick them up at a certain time. So you're not, if you are going to stray away from the path, you're not going to go too far. Or would you even bother stray away from it at all? Like,
no, because you're like, not. You're just going to take pictures, like, because you're like, we only have a couple hours, we're not wasting time like wandering.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the next day anyways, they searched the whole trail system, you know, a load of locals came out, they had a dive team search the creek, they got a tip from a woman who had been on the trail like around the time that the two girls should have been there, and she said she didn't see anything unusual. So they searched that whole day, they got up at 7:00 in the morning, searched the whole day, couldn't find anything. Then the next day, so February 14th, on Valentine's Day, they found the girls' bodies. So they were found just under a kilometer from the bridge, along the edge of like this private property line, which is not far.
No, not a kilometer. Like,
they were searching along like under the bridge when someone found a shoe, and Kelsey, sure, she'd been the last one to see them, she knew what they'd been wearing, and when the shoe was described to her, she was like, she knew that it was theirs. And it wasn't long after the shoe was found that a searcher found the girls. So autopsies were done and it was found that the girls were murdered, but like, the details of what actually happened have never been released as to like the method, we'll say.
Okay.
That's kind of it, really. So
I wonder why, though. That's kind of bizarre, no?
I suppose it's probably to protect the girls' families, but like, I'm presuming they know. And also, like, but I suppose at the same time, like, what information in regards to, like, were they strangled, were they stabbed, or whatever?
I know it doesn't add anything, like,
it's just realistically unusual.
Nobody needs to know, it's just, like that, it's just unusual, because usually, like, if you have a headline, it's like, girl, whatever age, stabbed, strangled, blah, 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 do you know?
Yeah.
And on any of the papers or on any articles, it's always like the leading thing that like had caused it is usually like smacking the fucking title.
Yeah.
But the fact that none of it's been released at all is
unusual. So the day after the girls were found, the police released, you know, they'd obviously gone through the girls' phones, they'd gone through their Snapchats and stuff, and they released the screenshot of the man in Libby's video that she'd saved. And they kind of framed it at the start as like, oh, they just wanted to talk to him, you know, to see if he'd seen anything unusual, obviously probably trying to draw him out of the woodwork. But
of course,
on the 19th, they announced that he was their suspect, and they were like, whoever this man is, he did that shit.
Yeah.
The girls were really into true crime, and it really shows in how they kind of dealt with the whole thing, because Libby had managed to get an audio recording of the man talking.
Oh, fucking God.
So apparently the audio recording is like 40 something seconds long, but they've only ever released this little snippet because they said the rest of it is too basically upsetting.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
You can hear this man's voice and he's like, guys, down the hill. So he's telling them to go down the hill.
Oh, fucking.
The way the river was kind of, obviously, you know, the way rivers tend to like cut a cut a path through the ground, that the sides of the river were basically very hilly.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
He was like, go down there, basically, go down to the river. Another recording was also found of the girls talking about how some man was following them. So they obviously knew something was up. They were like, this man is fucking weird. But they were probably like, yeah, play it cool before, you know. But then, I don't know, he probably approached them and he probably had a weapon of some sort that they couldn't get away.
Yeah.
The police obviously didn't release all their evidence to the public, but they have some people who said that they think they saw the man in person, and they released this composite sketch.
Mm-hmm.
So this composite sketch was brought even onto Dr. Phil. The families went to like bring attention to the case. They really like, God, they were like, people need to see this. So we have a few suspects, because basically that's all we know in regards to what happened. First kind of suspect that they looked at was this man called Daniel Nations, and he was arrested in September 2017 and he's a registered sex offender. He's from Indiana, but he was found and arrested in Colorado, and he was actually charged with threatening people on a trail with a hatchet in Colorado.
Oh,
so he was, they were like, okay, he's suspicious, because that's like the same fucking thing basically.
Right.
The police withheld information regarding him, but have since said that they don't believe that he's a suspect. So people were thinking like, oh, they're holding information on him because they don't want to release too much because it's him. But then now they've said that they don't think it's him. So people
right,
are like,
okay,
what the fuck? And there's another man, Charles Eldridge. He's a creepy bastard, but he wasn't really considered a suspect because the only real reason he was drawn to the police's attention was because he really looked like the composite sketch. Like, he really fucking looked like it.
Oh, okay.
But I mean,
it was a head
composite sketches are never that good.
But this kind of seemed a bit too fucking spot on, did it?
But also at the same time, that's nearly, in my opinion, evidence against it being him, because how often does a composite sketch actually look like the guy?
No, did you ever see the ones that were for Richard Ramirez for The Night Stalker?
No.
Or for Ted Bundy? They literally look nothing like. And I can't stress that they do not look a
single
fucking thing.
Like, I really and truly,
like how they actually look. Like, no wonder they weren't caught.
No wonder. So we have another guy, Thomas Bruce, and this man is a pastor.
Oof.
I know.
Blech.
So he,
like, not that there's anything wrong with being a pastor, but just when you hear,
I
like,
feel like it's Irish in us.
Child related crimes and murder and then pastor in the same sentence. It just
it's, yeah, it's the Irish in us. It's the, yeah,
yeah, generational trauma.
The whole, you know, Catholic church. I know obviously he's pastor, so he's not Catholic, but you know what I mean. He was charged with fatally shooting woman and sexually assaulting two others in St. Louis. And he looked,
oh,
like, the way he kind of carried himself, the way he walked, was very similar to the man in the videos on Libby's phone. So they were kind of like,
right, okay.
And then Indiana State Police announced they were investigating this fake online profile called Anthony_shots in connection to the case.
Okay.
So this profile was used from like 2016 to about 2017, you know, on like Snapchat, Instagram, that kind of stuff, and used photos of a male model, and he was basically catfishing, pretending that he was like, oh, I'm really rich and like I have loads of sports cars and like I'm really fancy and stuff.
Yeah.
So obviously he was using this account to groom underage girls. But I'm really sorry,
dirty pedophile.
Yeah, but also most underage girls are gonna know that, like, okay, like that's a really bad catfishing way, like method, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like a male model.
A male model who has loads of sports cars. Why are you talking to me who's 14?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Can you not have conversations with people your own age, or you're in like your own social, like, just circle instead of a fucking middle school?
The
child
ones that always worked were
Indiana,
like the random ones that just looked like a fella that was also good looking.
Yeah, or like, don't, like a little emo boy
with the beanie.
Or scene,
yeah,
kid. The whole, yeah, you're like, okay, I believe
they
that
work. He's just like a fella that will go to my school who's also good looking and he's talking to me. Like, that's believable. Not a fucking,
yeah,
sexy male, like, Mr. Model Man posing like topless and shit.
Who's 29 and is already looking for a second wife. Like,
yeah,
no,
literally. He used to use this account to get these girls to send him like nude photos and their addresses, and like he tried to get them to meet and stuff like that. And they found out that this man was Keegan Anthony Klein, and his literal fucking initials are CAC.
Oh.
Yeah. Which, I mean, very apt.
Shit like shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he was 27 and he had addresses in Kokomo and Peru, which were both close to Delphi. Delphi.
Okay.
He was arrested on charges of, like, obviously child, you know, sexual abuse, exploitation, the whole mm-hmm. fucking shebang in regards yeah. to this account. And he admitted to grooming underage girls.
Yeah.
He told investigators that he'd used these accounts to talk to underage girls and had exchanged messages with and received about 100 sexual photos and about 20 explicit videos from about 15 underage girls.
Ew.
So he was never actually, like, accused of involvement in this case, like, in regards to the Delphi murders, but
yeah.
he was charged with 30 felonies in 2020 because he was linked to this case.
Fucking
so
hell.
They investigated the shit out of him and charged him on a heap of stuff,
yeah.
but was obviously found to be, well, not guilty because they still don't know, but they don't think it was him.
Yeah, but they've just caught him on another shit, which I suppose is, like, obviously it's terrible that... I'm not saying that it's terrible that he didn't kill them. What I mean is,
but it's,
like,
fucking great that he was late.
It's terrible that they didn't. Yeah, like, it's terrible that they haven't still caught the killer. But at least there, if there any silver lining, and I mean if anything good came from this, is to catch somebody like
yeah,
him.
Exactly, 100%.
You know.
So the first composite sketch they released was whatever, right? They released the second one, and they mm. look nothing alike. These are two.
Lads,
wholly,
like,
different men.
What?
And they were like, okay, this second one is actually the primary suspect. Meantime, the other fucking composite sketch has been up on Dr. Phil and everything, like, what?
Why would you put the shit one up?
What the fuck, like, I don't understand why it took them so long to do a good one.
How,
but, like, maybe they...
How does that make
maybe
sense?
Maybe they had to, like, process the fucking video or something to make it, like, good quality or something. I don't know. But...
Maybe.
Come... Oh, my God, I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, they look nothing alike.
No.
So... I mean, this is the most vague fucking thing. He is described as a white male,
okay.
aged between
right.
60 and 40 years old, between 5'6
right.
and 5'10, and he weighs about 180, 200 pounds, and he looks younger than his true age. So he's every
so
man
then
ever.
What's the relevance got to do with the... But then where's the point in putting in the between 60 and 40 if you're going to say, okay, well, he appears younger than his actual age?
What fucking age does he look like
what
then?
What was the point of...
What does he look like then? So annoying.
And why are you giving it such a big gap of, like, 20 years? Like, I'm not being funny. There's a great big difference between a 40-year-old.
You can look at that video. You can look at the video of him, right? There's no hope. I've looked at that video and I personally don't think that that man is any younger than... fucking 35. I think he, like, 40 I think is shooting too low. I think he's older than that.
I think I, if I remember right now, because I mean I saw this years ago, to me he looked like he was a bit old, like probably like 50, 55.
Oh, 100%,
maybe 57 at a push.
I'll send you the picture of it now and you can have a look at it there on Facebook.
Because I don't, like, that's too big of a bracket. I'm sorry, like, you can't do
no,
that.
No, because his point, I think he looks to me...
So that's, like, that's obviously...
35 to 60.
That's obviously a cap.
Yeah.
That's a cap, not his hair.
Yeah.
Okay, if that's his hair, I probably would have said, like, 35 to 40. But if that's a cap, that's giving me, like, 50 to... Yeah, maybe 45 to 50.
Yeah.
45 to 50.
Even, I'd say, up to maybe 55. That's the gap I'd give him. Is that he's a late... He's a late middle-aged man. Like, there's no way that man is 20. There's
yeah.
not, that's not a 20-year-old. It's not.
No, and it's not doubling up to where he's not, like, you know, 3 years away from fucking retiring either. Like.
No, mm. no. That's my opinion anyways. 16 to 40, sure, mm. that's fucking every man ever. Like...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so the police believe that this man is living in Delphi, or... He at least is mm-hmm. in town a lot for, like, work or travel. You know, that he's around a lot. And the
yeah.
police did...
Could be, like...
go on.
No, sorry, go on. No, I was going to say, like, could be a fella that might be, like, a supplier for, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or this is actually just me, like, shooting shite. But, you know, like, a fella that might deliver for, like, a shop or...
A trucker or...
Might deliver something, yeah, that he's coming in and out all the time.
Even a tourist that, like, he fishes or something.
Yeah.
The police actually said they did, like, I was going to say interviews, the wrong word. You know when they, like, oh my God, what's the word?
Interrogation?
No, you know when they're, like, they brief the press kind of thing, when, like, they're in a room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's that word called?
I'm very slow today.
Is there a specific word for it? And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm brain
dead. Yeah, I'm very bad now today. Anyways, yeah, they were, like, briefing the press. They were, like, you know, going over stuff. And the police man in charge, like, probably the fucking sheriff or something, said... to the killer, who may be in this room, we believe you are hiding in plain sight. So it kind of goes back to, because I watched Kendall Ray, and she kind of drew the comparison to the Golden State Killer, of like how he actually went to those things as well.
Yeah,
which is so true. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. Like, he very easily could be one of the policemen, do you know?
Oh, easy, sure. Golden State Killer, wasn't he a policeman? Yeah, he was for a couple of years.
So on the same afternoon that the girls went missing, there was reports of a car left like in kind of a car park near the bridge trail, and police were looking for witnesses regarding that, but sure, there's nothing really cropping up. And there's a reward on offer for over $200,000 that'll be given to anyone who can give like key evidence to solve the murders.
Jesus.
So
can I ask you a question? Sorry now to interrupt. Would you accept reward money for telling a bit of information to somebody, or to like a cop or something, that could possibly get a criminal caught?
I feel
like if you do, it's kind of bad form, because you should just tell them anyway.
I would tell them anyway, but I mean, if they were like, do you want it? I'd be like, do you mind?
Yeah, sure, run.
Do you mind?
Yeah, it's a, yeah, not a case of like, I'm only telling you this information if you give me that 200k. Then you're a sack of shit.
Yeah.
But I feel like you'd have to do like the Mrs. Doyle and Father Ted thing. Like, I know you're grand. Ah, sure, go on. Ah, it's grand.
Are you sure now? Are you sure it's no bother?
No trouble at all.
Sure fucking.
Are you sure now? Ah, I'll buy you. I have got loans to pay off. It would be handy.
I'll buy you a drink later.
Yeah. As a thanks.
Yeah. I feel like tell if there was no reward money, I would still give evidence. But if there was reward money, I wouldn't be like, no.
Yeah, I'm not telling you unless you promise me that fucking...
Yeah, I wouldn't say no to reward money, but also I wouldn't withhold evidence just because I wanted reward money.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agree.
Do you remember at the start I said that their bodies were found like along the line of a private property?
Yeah.
So this property was owned by Ronald Logan, okay? And he was interviewed in 2017 at the time, and was cleared as a suspect. Because when the screenshot, like, you know, the picture of the man on the bridge was released, there was like 15 people sent in tips saying that they thought it was him.
Oh shit.
So he was...
And can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Sorry. Did they know that the bodies had been discovered on his property line at this point, or was
they would
just
have they would have known that it was around the bridge, and right, I mean, okay, the bridge was very close to where his property was, so they probably like assumed.
So yeah, put it to, yeah, okay, that's fair.
He was cleared as a suspect in 2017, but there was a lot of shady shit that went on, right? So
okay,
just recently there was a search warrant filed for the home, for his home, which was only 1,400 feet from where the girls were discovered, which is...
Yeah, so not fucking far.
That's
at all,
not fair. That's like... There's how many feet in a metre? 1,014 divided by 3. What, 500 metres from where the girls were found?
Mm.
He actually died in 2020. Yeah. So, I mean, even if it was him, it's kind of fucking pointless. But in the search warrant, like, there's parts of it, like, were redacted that they didn't leave in, I presume, because, you know... in regards to withholding evidence or whatever.
The
FBI agent who filed for the search warrant said that the murderer would have been covered in the victim's blood due to the large amount of blood that was lost by the victims at the crime scene. And he said because of the nature of their wounds, the perpetrator of the crime would have gotten blood on his person, clothing. They said that the bodies had been staged, and that the killer may not have only have gotten blood on himself due to the way that they were carried out, but also that he took clothing from the girls, which were described as souvenirs.
Okay.
So this is all only new information that they've released recently enough in the last year.
Yeah, fuck.
New information on the case also reveals that the killer may have taken pictures of the crimes, and that the victims did not struggle or fight with the perpetrator at the time of their deaths, which to me points to he had a weapon of some sort.
Yeah.
Be it a knife or a gun.
Definitely.
Because
like, the probability, right, these, right, young, fit-looking girls, right, so obviously not saying to what their actual fitness level was, because how the fuck do I know, but that fella looked like a heavy-set man, probably wouldn't be as fast on his feet as two fucking 14-year-old girls. He can't get a car up into the woods, like, to where they were if it was down on an embankment, so how is he going to, like, kind of keep them in his sight if he hasn't got something like to threaten them with? Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, it doesn't,
like, it's not a case of,
it reminds me of the case we did recently enough where it was like, who the fuck was it, he tied him up and he was like, if you, you know, if you kind of comply, I'll let you go.
Oh, BTK?
Yes. I'm fucking simple now this morning. Sorry. This morning and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, that he definitely was like, if you, you know, if you cause a fuss, you know, I'll make it worse for you kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Logan, oh, I keep calling him Logan. I'm after, his name was fucking Ronald, but I've...
Sure, it's his last name, sure.
I know, but I hate doing that. It makes him sound real formal. It's embarrassing.
It does. It
and means. Logan is also a first name, kind of. So, anyways, Ronald...
Oh, I hate first name, last names. No disrespect.
Ronald Logan. Okay, yeah. What's your surname? So, he, at the time, actually lied about his alibi to police, that he told police that on the day of the murder, February 13th, that a friend had picked him up and driven him to, you know, to the shops, basically, between 2 and 2:30 that day.
Mm.
He actually rang a family member the following morning, like the day after the murders, before the girls had even been found.
Right.
And asked them to tell police about his trip the previous day and to say that he didn't get home between 5 and 5:30. So why are you preemptively trying to figure out an alibi?
Yeah, that's extremely strange, Ronnie.
So the family member that he'd rang said that he told the lie for him, but then 2 days later he admitted he'd lied because Logan had asked him to. And he said that he'd never asked him to lie in the past, so that's why he'd done it. Which, I mean, I guess, but also, it's in the fucking case. I wouldn't lie for anyone in the case of a missing person thing like that with kids.
Absolutely fucking, no.
So, obviously it was noted, as we just said, that he asked him to lie before the girls had even been discovered, before they even knew the girls had died. The girls had only just been missing.
Yeah, like that's...
Like...
That's really fucking
It was
weird.
The morning of February 14th, so like they were only going out to go look for them again. They hadn't been found. Nothing had been found. The warrant also said that he had made statements that were found to be factually false and intentionally designed to deceive. And cell phone data also found him to be in Delphi and near the bridge where the girls went missing on the afternoon of their disappearance.
Shit.
But then the FBI went back and had a look at the voice, like the audio recording where you could hear the man talking.
Yeah.
And the FBI said that the voice wasn't consistent with his voice.
Okay.
So it's like, there's so much...
But can I...
Yeah.
Right. Just say, for example, like, could they tell if... Just say he was putting on, like, stupid fucking voice like BTK used to. Because that's not his usual tone of voice. Can they still make comparisons if he was to change his voice to be like, no, it's definitely not his?
He didn't sound like... I've heard the clip and it doesn't sound like he's putting on a stupid voice.
It's actually sound, right,
it sounds
okay.
like he's just talking.
He's not trying to talk like deeper or anything.
It doesn't... Maybe he is. Maybe he is. That's the thing. But he doesn't sound like he is. But also, the girls were recording him on the sly. So he...
Yeah, he wouldn't,
Yeah. thought to be like, okay, I'm going to put on a fake voice because why would he?
That's very true. Yeah.
So...
No, that's very
There's
true.
All this evidence towards it being him, and then it's like, that's not his voice, but then it's like, maybe it just doesn't sound like him in that one little clip.
Yeah.
So, another man, James Chadwell, was 43, and he was added as a suspect in 2021 after he was arrested and convicted for luring a 9-year-old girl to his home where he sexually assaulted and strangled her in his basement just 20 miles from where the two girls were murdered.
Huh?
So... I mean,
like,
the thing is, right, is that it sounds bad, but also it's not really the same thing. Like, I'd be more inclined to think it was the guy with the hatchet abroad in fucking Colorado threatening people out in the woods than it would be to be him, because it's like a totally different MO or whatever.
Mm.
Do you know, like, I don't know. But then maybe the thing is maybe the two girls, he just kind of, it was like happenstance, and he was like, sure.
He was just there at the
moment. And he was like, sure, why not? And then he kind of like, I don't know.
So I suppose if like the sexual assault happened like down in the basement or whatever, like that's away from prying eyes, but anybody could, like, I suppose anybody could fucking walk upon them when they're murdering. But I feel like murder's a lot quicker, or can be a lot quicker than if you were to like rape somebody.
Yeah.
Let alone two people.
Especially two people, like you, like two people is a lot.
Mm.
So in this warrant as well, it's also revealed that there was a weapon used when the girls were killed. And they didn't say what kind of weapon, but I mean, we can assume that it was a knife or a gun. Yeah. Indiana State Police said in February that they know who killed the girls, but they say that they have insufficient evidence to make an arrest, which is such a fucking balls.
Fuck.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. The family ask that anyone who is speaking about the case use the hashtag Abby and Libby, just to raise awareness of what has actually gone on.
Jesus.
But I mean, aside from that, like, they don't know anything. It's unsolved.
They haven't got a clue.
No.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And it's just so sad. Like, obviously it's terrible, like, what has happened to them, but the fact that they, like, they knew something was probably going to happen to them, that they started like taking videos, clearly trying to like get him in the background.
Yeah, I mean,
them recording his voice.
When you're into true crime at all, that is something that you do.
I know, but for like a fucking 30
no I know but that's old, that's just... the scary thing is that they were like, we have to do it now in real life.
Yeah, because something's probably going to happen.
Yeah,
I wonder, I don't know, do you reckon it's ever going to be one of those ones where a couple of years down the line something's going to come out, like a family member of somebody's going to say, look, I feel like I know something, so and so since past, I feel like I can say it now, like this kind of shit, and like then somebody probably gets caught for it.
Yeah, like they were taking DNA off people and stuff, so that means in my head that they have DNA evidence. So if they are regularly putting that through like 23andMe, even, like, they'll find a relative.
Yeah,
do you know, that's how the Golden State Killer was caught.
Yeah,
do you know, like, he's there somewhere and he's there to be found. It's just a case
dirty
of
bastard.
Finding him.
Actually, yeah. Oh, fucking hell. How can you tell me we both ended up doing the topic of dead children?
No, we didn't, did we?
This was unspoken. This was an unspoken thing.
No, this was not decided at all.
This was purely accidental.
How many children have died in yours?
Two. Like, just say they're teenagers. Two are younger and one's kind of like, you can drink and you can vote, probably. Depending on the country. You know what I mean? But still technically kids, like.
Yeah, my two were, like, early teens. 13, 14.
But quite like Kiva's, mine is also unsolved. So if anybody is going to have a fucking headache, well, do you know what? I actually had a headache doing this. You probably had a headache doing yours. So I'm pretty sure everybody's going to have a fucking headache listening to this.
100%.
Because the level of frustration when cases aren't solved, like, it's annoying and tiring doing murder cases anywhere, and that's even when a killer has been caught, because you're like, why the fuck did this even happen in the first place?
Yeah.
But when there's actually no clear answer as to who did
it's so vexing.
Why it happened, it's so vexing, so fucking vexing. And a lot of the time, well, I can only speak for the one that I've done now as well today, it didn't help that the police were fucking useless, you know.
It's so frustrating, because it's like, I
and
feel like
screamed and roared
when they
later.
Fuck up so early on in an investigation, it really jeopardises the whole thing.
The entire thing. Like, mine happened over fucking Jesus Christ near 50 years ago now at this point. Probably more. When was the 1960s?
The 60s, 40, 70 years ago. 60 years ago.
60 years ago. Mine happened 60 years ago. It still hasn't been solved because the police made a fucking huge cock up so early on. So early on. And I'm not saying that their cock-up could have led, or if, like, they didn't do it, it would have led to the killer, exactly. Because, you know, sometimes people slip through the fucking cracks, like in your one. The possibility is fucking there. You'll understand why.
Yeah.
So, I am doing the Lake Bodum murders, and this happened in Finland in the 1960s, right?
Okay.
So, it's June 4th, 1960, and it was what? Supposed to be, like, the summer of love, ended in absolute fucking disaster. Or could things have gone exactly to plan?
Oh my God.
We still don't know. So with the sun high in the sky, gas in the tank, Seppo Boisman, his girlfriend Tuliki Mäki, Niels Gustafsson and his girlfriend Irmareli Björklund hopped on their motorcycles and headed to Lake Bodum for a romantic camping trip away. So two of the girls were 15, two of the boys were 18. I don't know if it was a case where, like, they all, like, met in school, if they were from, like, the same town. Like, not much information of their background is given. So we can only just assume.
Yeah.
So when the group arrived, they pitched their tent and then, I don't know, probably did some, like, campy shit. I don't know, I've never gone. So I presume they went fucking swimming in the lake, having a grand old time. That kind of crack. But in the early morning of June 5th, around 4 a.m, the teenagers were savagely attacked, and as a result, three of the teenagers would end up dead. Seppo, Tuliki and Irmeli were savagely bludgeoned and stabbed to death, but Irmeli had suffered so much more trauma compared to the other two. But I'm going to, like, I'll circle back to that later. Niels had suffered a broken jaw, bad cuts and bruises, but he was still alive. But the thing is, and this really, really creeped me out. And I don't know if, I suppose it's because they were kind of blind to it in a sense, because the killer didn't attack them from, to say, like, they weren't all outside. He didn't enter the tent. The attack happened from outside of the tent, with the killer smashing down an unidentified blunt object and stabbing through the tent with a knife. So, like, these kids were fucking blind as to what was happening. They hadn't got a clue.
Holy fuck, that's so scary.
They were passed out asleep. Isn't it though? Like, that's actually fucking terrifying.
Such a fucking nightmare.
That's so scary. It was like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning they could have been up. But they also could have been dead asleep and you're just waking up. You're getting hurt, you're being fucking stabbed and you don't know what's going where, who's what, who's where. You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, no, that's... I actually hate the thought of that now.
It's fucking sick. And like, oh my god, if you see the tent... It's fucking grim.
What do I look up, Lake?
So, Lake Bodom. So, B-O-D-O-M. So, like, there's these big, heavy slashes. But apparently what the investigators thought that the hammer came first. Or not the hammer. Well, a blunt object came first. And that he was stabbing them through, like, the openings of the tents. I don't, like, on the sides where there might be, like, little small gaps.
The little windows and stuff.
Yeah, that he was just stabbing in through there. So you've just fucking knife just appearing out of fucking everywhere and anywhere. And then obviously as the attack went on, the slashes got bigger and bigger and bigger. So the whole tent is practically obliterated. It fucking destroyed. But around 6 a.m. the following morning, a group of young lads had been out bird watching. Look, no judgment, but I don't know why someone's getting up at the crack of dawn to look at fucking birds. Kiva, I feel like actually you'd go bird watching. I'm just going to say it.
I mean, I would if they were cool birds.
I remember you looking at a goldfinch in a big zoo. That was just a goldfinch that was just, he was just flying in like he wasn't a part of the zoo. And I think it was for like a solid 15 minutes. You're just watching him fly around the place in by where the gorilla was.
Yeah.
So, not to say.
Oh my god, the tent.
Did you see it?
It's fucking destroyed. That is so scary. But
they had seen the collapsed tent from wherever the fuck they were perched, right? And they saw what they thought was a blonde man leaving the area where the bodies would later be found. But the bodies themselves wouldn't be discovered until around 11 a.m. by a man called Esco Johnson, who was out for a morning swim. That poor bastard had the misfortune of coming up towards an embankment and he came across the scene. Like, he came across these four fucking teenagers bludgeoned and stabbed to death. And so he immediately rings the police and ambulance come as well, and Niels is carried off to the hospital. And this is where I said I would be fucking and blinding in, because, like I said, you won't be surprised to hear that the police didn't even corner off the crime scene. No, because, you know, sure, that'd only be doing their job, and you can't be asking that of them. You can't be asking them to do what they're paid for. Or even at least to have a bit of common fucking sense, at the very least. Didn't corner it off. Didn't corner it off at all. But I'm about to make it so much fucking worse. And would you also believe that they didn't even bother to document any evidence that they initially found, right? Because they were far too concerned about the murder weapon that they shockingly couldn't find right away. They're like, nah, lads, our attention has to be solely focused on finding this murder weapon. This is the only important thing that matters right now. Fuck everything else. And when I tell you, this really did wind them up, because they even took the time to, like, not... Like we're saying, didn't collect anything, didn't log anything. They took the time to call in a fucking drove of police officers, the literal army, right? To help look for this missing murder weapon, along with like a couple of, I don't know, fucking miscellaneous items that might have been missing from the tent, like clothes, that kind of crack, right? But sure, this left the scene wide open, which led for masking cross-contamination. Evidence was either lost, disturbed because it was been fucking trampled on by hundreds of people, and they didn't know what state the crime scene was originally in because they didn't take any fucking notes. They didn't log a single thing.
Oh my god, man.
Like that's negligence, that's basic, on a severe, that's, fucking level. That's
fucking cavemen would know.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like,
I'm sorry, you could pull in people off the fucking street and be like, okay, organise this crime scene. First thing you do is have someone go around and, like, take pictures. First thing you do is cordon it off. Second thing, you're like, okay, these are the couple of people who are allowed to go in to take notes as to where everything is. Mm-hmm. And then we go in and look for evidence.
No. And, like, they would have had to wait for all of these extra police officers to show up. They would have had to wait for the fucking army, because God knows where the barracks are. It might be closed, might not be. But you still have this time. What are you standing around scratching your fucking arse for? You're calling in these boys to help you to do this, because you clearly can't fucking do it. How do you know the killer didn't just take the weapon with them anyway? So you're looking for what? You're probably not going to fucking find it.
For fuck's sake.
Meanwhile, all of these lads standing around, and things are getting fucking trampled on. Like, how does that make sense? Like, I don't understand how they can't just take out a fucking notebook and a pen and be like, right, okay, there was, or so-and-so was lying in this position on this side of the tent. There was footprints seen to, like, north, south, east, or west of the fucking tent. Just stupid shit at that, at the very fucking least. But anyway.
Oh, that's so very aggravating.
Some of the... Oh, Kiva's so incredibly fucking so. So some of the victim's bloody clothes were found 500 metres away. So quite like yours, not that far. Including Niels' shoes, which were partially hidden in a bush. So initially it appeared that the killer stole some of the victim's belongings, including money and keys to both of the motorcycles, but the motorcycles were left behind. So you could think, okay, maybe he took the keys so they couldn't get away.
Yeah.
But they would have been stolen after the fact because they would have had the keys with them. And if he would have bludgeoned them and stabbed them to the extent that he did, sure, they weren't going to be able to fucking drive away on a motorcycle anyway.
No. Yeah.
And I know some people are very much like, okay, leave nothing to chance. But I feel like that's just kind of weirdly fucking excessive if it wasn't thought out beforehand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll explain it more anyway when I get to it, but okay, just keep that in mind.
Okay.
So, do you remember I said Irmeli kind of had a worse going over than the other two?
Yeah.
Well, so she was actually found laying on top of the tent and she was naked from the waist down. And she was stabbed multiple times after death as well.
Okay, so just to remind myself, Irmeli mm-hmm. was with which of the lads?
Niels, the fella that survived.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't said if she was, like, assaulted or anything, but I don't know why she'd be naked from the waist down. And it's not like, I don't think she would have been asleep naked in the same one tent as her best friend and her best, or her best friend's fella. You know what I mean? I just feel like...
All four of them, I presume, were sleeping in the same tent.
They were, yeah.
Yeah, they're not, you're not going to be doing bits, like, in a tent like that. Unless they're, like, all doing bits together.
Yeah, which I don't know, I fucking highly doubt, but anyway. Niels was found next to her, like, right beside her, like, practically on top of her. His shoes were off, but other than that, he was, like, fully dressed. And when he was being carted back to the hospital, he says that he remembers seeing the killer wearing bright red and black. And he told him, the only reason why I survived is because I pretended to be dead after he was attacked. So you're like, okay, makes sense, but you suffered, like, non-life-threatening injuries, so why would you just... Why would he think that you were dead? And anyway, I'm just going to move on. So the police really had no solid leads because, like we discussed earlier, a vast majority of the evidence had been wrecked due to their severe fucking negligence. And the murder weapon obviously still couldn't be found. So their next step was to check out the local fucking nutters. That first nutter being Carl Waldemar Gilstrom. So Carl worked at a kiosk near Lake Bodum and everybody that knew him said that he was, and I mean a crazy crackpot. Like, did you ever see Monster House?
Yeah.
Do you know Mr. Nevercracker?
That old fella, he lived in the house.
Yeah, like screaming at people to get the fuck away from his house.
Yeah.
Him. Very much him, because he hated tourists despite working in a touristy area in a fucking kiosk of all places where tourists are going to fucking stop, Carol. Anyway, so he would often swear them out of it, peg them with fucking stones. He just gave them the height of abuse. But tourists weren't the only thing or the only people that he had particular hatred for. Because, lads, when I say he hated teenagers so much, like, he saw them as scum of the fucking earth, a pure annoyance. Didn't want them anywhere near the lake because they were going to ruin his fucking tranquil vibes. Which, look, I can see, I can kind of... If they're being irritating, I can kind of understand why you didn't want them fucking up your vibe. But Carl, at the same time, I love you. You're working at a lake where teenagers are going to go. Pick and choose. Pick and choose your fucking areas where you're not going to be irritated. Don't work in a place where you're going to spend hours of your fucking day being surrounded by teenagers that are going to piss you off. I feel like that's just common sense. No?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Carl, get over it. Anyway, yeah. So if he saw any of them camping, sure, he'd go cut down their tents. He would chase them out of the woods, sometimes even in the dead of night. And sure, they'd also get a pelt of the stones.
Sure, I don't never understood why people give so much of a shit.
Yeah, like mind your business to what other people are doing, unless it's actual bother. Like, if they're camping in a woods by a lake, where else are you meant to fucking camp? On the motorway? I'm sure he probably wished that they fucking did, but still. It just doesn't make sense. It's a touristy area. It's a big, massive, beautiful fucking lake. What do they think was going to happen like? But some locals say that they saw Carl leaving the woods shortly after the murders were supposedly committed. But then again, did they actually... Because everybody just fucking hated Carl and saw him as an absolute plague and could probably think, okay, this might be you know, our sure way of getting them the fuck out of here. And their excuse for not telling the police this initially was because they said that they were terrified of him. But even though, as well, he was one of the police's main suspects, they never even bothered to take a DNA sample from him.
Of course they didn't.
Like, in this entire case, like, loads of people were questioned, DNA samples had been taken. He was one of the big three that were questioned in this case, and they didn't take a DNA sample off him. Within the space of a fucking couple of days, you have cocked up royally two times now. Two.
Like, proper, like, and that's, like, they're, like, massive mistakes.
Yeah. Like, your main, one of your main suspects, and you're not even going to bother to DNA test him. That should be the first fucking thing you're doing. You can haul him in for a question, but you can't haul him in for fucking a DNA test.
Make no, that's sense. Fucking...
It's stupid, but it gets worse from there, because he would repeatedly get pissed drunk, ring up the police and tell them that he was the killer, but they were like, nah, lads, he's ringing the station, but sure, he's drunk again. He could just be talking shite. But even if he wasn't, the fact that he was your main, or one of your main suspects, and he's admitting to you, whether he's drunk or not, that he did do it, maybe do take his fucking DNA. Maybe do take his word for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not, I don't fucking know. What do you even say to that? Like, there's nothing to even say.
No, but what makes it worse then as well, because this just keeps on continuously getting fucking worse. Carl had also built a well in his garden, and it was there for years, but it just suddenly got filled to the very fucking brim with cement very shortly after the murders were committed. And many people are like, okay, maybe that's where the murder weapons are. It's very plausible, but sure, the police didn't even bother to get that dug up. They just left it in the garden.
Oh, sure, why would they?
And I don't even think they can do that now, because he's since been, like, cleared as a suspect. So a couple of years later, Carl would drunkenly tell our friend Bjor. I think his name Bjor. I think so. Anyway, no disrespect. Look, these names are Finnish, and I can't be pronouncing these. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll see. So he told him, anyway, that he'd committed these murders. And Carl asked the friend then, well, what would you do if you committed this crime? And the friend basically turned to him and was like, okay, look, I'm not even taking you seriously, because he really wasn't. He just thought that your man was chatting shy. He said, you should drown yourself, because sure, you'll be spending the rest of your life in prison. And a few hours later, on June 6th, 1969, a day and 9 years after the murder, Carl drowned himself in Lake Bodum. So, I mean... Look.
See,
we might have to call
it.
A spade a spade.
He said it without saying it.
He said it without saying it. He was like, right, okay, I've tried to tell the police, they're not fucking listening to me. I've told you, you still think I'm having a laugh. You told me to go kill myself if I did it, and guess what? I'm going to call your bluff. I'm going to do it.
He definitely, like, asked him, like, for serious, like, what should I actually do? And he was like, kill yourself. And he was
kill yourself.
Oh, by drowning too.
Specifically drowning. And he do a few hours, like 9 years and a day in the difference of when the attack happened. But yet again, we have to move on, because our next suspect is very fucking sus as well. Very fucking sus as well.
Very fucking sus. So
this next lunatic would be called Hans Assmann. So before we even get into it, I just want you all to know that this isn't the first time that he was a main suspect in a murder, because in 1953, he was a main suspect in the murder of a 17-year-old Auli Saari. And that case is, like, one of the most famous cases in Finland, because it's still unsolved to this day. And the police have also linked him to an additional 3 unsolved cases.
Oh, well, for fuck's sake, like.
Like, his name just keeps on propping up. But, oh, lads, this crazy cunt is just something else entirely. So Hans claimed to be a former SS officer in Auschwitz. He claims that he was forced to be an SS officer in the early years of the war. But anybody who's done history at all or has a bit know about you, we know that's bollocks, because at the very beginning of the war, the SS were strictly volunteer bases, and you had to fit a certain criteria to be a part of it. Like, no Jewish blood in at all, like 100% German. You had to be the fucking blonde hair, blue eyed, like that kind of shit. Like, they were
If he said he was forced into, like, being in the army, I'd say fair, but, like, to be an officer,
not
as well,
SS.
They aren't,
no,
fucking...
SS was strictly... Because, like, that was a pure trust base. Like, you were getting them to do the worst of the fucking worst, so you had to pick who was doing that. And if you're voluntarily doing this shit, okay, well, we clearly have a similar mindset.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. But, anyway, the SS only started conscripting lads at the very, very end of the war. And I mean the very end, because shit was getting hairy and they needed bodies and couldn't afford to be picky anymore. And even at that, conscriptions weren't mainly from... Or they were mainly for the Waffen SS, which was a foreign legion. So it wasn't even necessarily German nationals that were being conscripted. It was lads from, like, fucking Bulgaria, Romania.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So it was a lilac. But then he also claimed to have been kidnapped by the Russians and held captive for years. Not a lar or a mark left on him. Not a disfigurement in sight. Completely unharmed. And then they apparently let him go years later because he agreed to become like a fucking KGB agent. As if
who did that?
Anyway, to do this shit. Apparently the fucking Russians thought this was a great idea.
Like, oh, I'm so sure that the Russians that picked up forced. A fucking German in the middle of World War II and let him go in perfect fucking condition.
And then to be a spy for them, like, how the fuck
oh,
would that make
fuck
it?
Off. Sure, that's obviously, like, I'm sorry, like, even if that's, oh, that's bullshit. They know that people under torture and every other sorts of fucking thing are going to say whatever. He was going to say what the fuck ever to save his
fuck
own life.
They wanted, yeah.
I'd say whatever. I'd be like, man, I'd be Hitler's fucking midwife. I don't give a shit. I'll do whatever you want. Just let me go. And they know that. They know that people are going to say whatever. Like, that. Oh, that's shite talk.
It's such, no, it is. It's such...
I'll let you go because you'll be a spy for us. Why would you want someone who was never on your side to be suddenly be a spy for you?
Yeah, and you're trusting them with your country's fucking secrets then if you're going
you
to...
You are in your fuck. You are in your fuck. Like,
get a fucking... As if the Russians would even let him live that long.
As if the Russians... shite talk.
Without even the loss of a hand. A finger. A toe. A fingernail.
Not a scratch on him. Shite
Not
talk.
A scratch.
No.
But then all of a sudden he was able to like, I'm just going to get into a spiral now. Anyway. Well, he would often tell people about his background. Like, he would wear like a badge of honour. So he would tell people that he was a guard in Auschwitz. But in my opinion, he lied about the whole conscription part because fucking obviously.
Obviously.
That is a blatant lie, if anything. But he still wanted to tell people about all the vile shit he did. But it just sounds less sick if you were to say that you didn't have a choice.
Yeah, he was like, oh my God, I can't believe I had to do this. But listen to what I had to do.
And then see the horror on people's faces as he was recounting it and he got to fucking relive it. Because he was delighted with that. He only fucking loved it, sure. But he knew he wasn't going to get a fucking battering or probably end up buried in them woods. As if he were to say, you know, I was an SS officer, I had a great time doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like the lying about the conscription part was definitely to save his own fucking skin.
Yeah, I know that, but it was even just to make him more like human that, like, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
You wouldn't be talking about it if you didn't want to do it.
No, like, you wouldn't utter a single fucking word. You would not have a fucking thing that would connect you to that past. If you were so deeply ashamed of this.
You wouldn't want to be reminded of it, so why would you want to talk about it?
Yeah, it just doesn't fucking make sense. Like, that should be a secret that you're going to die with. Especially the fact that he had moved to an entire new country. Nobody knew him at all. Like, he moved to a completely new area. Why would you be telling people? It's not like anybody's going to recognise you. It's not like anybody's going to know you.
Yeah,
the internet didn't exist, so it's not like anybody could fucking do a Google search on you. So, I mean, Hans, who are you fucking kidding, love? At the time of the murders, Hans had really long blonde hair. And if you remember, some of the lads say that they thought that they saw somebody with blonde hair exiting the campsite. And on the morning of the 6th, he was treated in a hospital in Helsinki. He had bloodied clothes, bloodied fingernails, and he was acting extremely erratic, like even going as far as trying to attack some of the nurses and some of the doctors. Like, he would pretend to pass out just so that the nurses would like come over, see if he was okay. And then he'd like suddenly fucking revive himself and say, you need to treat me now. And was like trying to like choke at them and stuff. Like, mad shit like that. The police briefly questioned Hans and do you know what? They didn't take a DNA sample yet again. So this is prime suspect number fucking 2 that still didn't have a DNA test done. So, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Well done. And they officially released him as a suspect as they believed he had a solid alibi. But that alibi came from a fucking terrified housewife who told the police that Hans had been home all evening. But she would later tell the police that Hans forced her to lie because it wouldn't end well for her if she didn't. And I mean, this was like within a year. She was like, okay, I actually have something to tell you. He told me to lie to you. But yet, still nothing was done about it at all. And he was just let walk away scot-free. So potential. He's up there. He's up there for like, oh, I think you could have done it, fucking Hans. But the final suspect would be Niels Gustafsson. So Niels had gone on to live a normal life for 44 years after the murders. Got married, popped out a couple of kids, had a grand job, the whole lot. But everything just went to shit in March 2004 when he was arrested. So the arrest was due to a collection of new DNA evidence, because they finally fucking did something. And when DNA samples were taken from the victim's clothes, particularly their shoes, so basically each of the victims, their own blood was on their own clothes. They weren't mixed anything, right? However, Niels' shoes that were found 500 metres away, they were covered in blood of all of the victims and none of Niels's. And then the police were like, do you know what? It's actually kind of suspicious that the killer just simply left him alone when he'd only been dealt with non-life-threatening injuries. Like a broken jaw, couple of bruises, few slash wounds, like nothing fucking major, when the others had been completely bludgeoned.
Yeah.
And they also found it odd that his girlfriend was the one that suffered more severe attacks than the others. So you're like, okay, you're starting to make sense to me. But when the trial began in August of 2004, the prosecutor's main theory was that Niels had murdered everyone after a massive argument that led to his exile from the group. So they claimed that he got into a drunk altercation with Seppo, which led to the two boys fighting, Niels suffering a broken jaw in the process. Which, I mean, could make sense. So they hypothesized that Niels was the aggressor in the situation, which led everybody to side with Seppo. They didn't want Niels around, so they forced him to leave. And they believed that he returned in the dead of night, drunk, and set on revenge. And that's why Irmeli was attacked more viciously, because it was out of pure anger and jealousy. Because if you think of it, she was his girlfriend. If anybody, in his eyes, was to stick up for him, it should have been her. Yeah. And yet she sided with the boy that he just had a fight with and, like, fucked his face up. And it could, like, we don't even know what, like, the prosecutor didn't even say what they could have been arguing about. It could have been maybe Irmeli was a bit too chatty with Seppo or something fucking stupid. Anything like that.
It could have been, like, something really fucking,
anything. Like. Anything. Could have been anything. They could have been talking about, oh, my or fucking motorbike's better than yours. You're a fucking game. Something so juvenile and so fucking stupid. And it just led to them fighting and got fucking worse as it went on. So they said that he did the attack, walked and hid his shoes, returned back to the camp and gave himself the non-life-threatening stab wounds, because they really weren't deep. Like, they were superficial at best. So he would have needed a couple of stitches, but there wouldn't have been a fear of him bleeding out around. Like, the broken jaw was the most serious injury that he had.
Yeah.
During the trial, Niels was put under hypnosis, which I feel like is fucking ridiculous. Anyway, to recall the killer's appearance. And a composite sketch was drawn up, and it appeared to resemble Hans Assmann. But at the same time, it kind of didn't. But a photo from the victim's funeral was released, and when I seen it, this person is the, like, immediate thing my eyes were drawn to, because it's a really creepy looking man and he's just stood in the crowd, and it eerily matches the composite sketch given by Niels. Now, very possible that Niels could have seen this creepy man in the fucking photograph, because this photo was printed in the paper years back. And did he just use this man's likeness when describing the killer? Because I'm not being funny, this man clearly stood out in this picture because of how bizarre his features were, and I'm going to send it to you now. Like, it's unsettling looking, and that's terrible to say, like, about anybody, but he looks creepy. So if he would have seen this picture, I'm like, okay, the next good thing for me to do, there's a creepy man in this picture. If I say it's this, like, monstrous looking fucking man that did it,
oh,
it's slightly more believable than as opposed to I did it. Like, doesn't fucking, he looks
so scary looking.
Like, if I'm going to put the pictures up on the Instagram anyway, but he's, like, bald head, like, just a really odd shaped fucking head, really big fucking eyes, but they're still sunk in at the same time. His face is kind of crooked. It's just, like, if you were to see that photo, aren't your eyes just immediately drawn to him? Like, immediately. Like, he's smack dab in the middle of the fucking picture.
And he's really fucking scary looking.
He's unsettling to look at. So if you were to just, like, I feel like that would be easy to draw a composite sketch of us, because it's so particular what he fucking looks like.
Yeah.
It's so particular. So I don't think it would be too hard, because I'm not going to forget that fucking face because it creeps me out. But if he's trying to prepare to possibly do this, like, give a composite sketch, you're not going to think he's going to have this in his mind.
But even pretend that your man is genuine, right? And he was hypnotized, whatever. Like, you know how, like, in dreams you can't make up a face? Like, it's very possible that he saw exactly. That picture and then just was like, that guy is super fucking creepy looking. And then his subconscious just drew that comparison. And then now he's basically describing him because he's a scary looking man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know the way at the start they were like, oh, well, this composite sketch looks like Hans. Hans wasn't even at the funeral at all. People are actually actively looking for him at the time because they also thought he was a bit sus, but I don't even think he was in the country at that point. We don't fucking know. But the police do think that the killer attended the funeral. But despite all of, I suppose it's kind of, it is hearsay. Like, it's just the prosecutors kind of making up situations in their head where they think that this would have happened and this shooting is a bit suspect. But then also, could the killer have just taken off his shoes and moved them? But why the fuck would he do that anyway? Like, why would he leave him barefoot and hide his shoes? It just doesn't make sense. And also, the bird watcher boys, some of them thought it was a blonde man that had left the campsite. But then the other half of them were like, nah, that looks like Niels. They thought it was Niels that it was. So you have that fucking conflicting evidence then again.
Yeah.
But the jury themselves weren't even convinced that Niels was capable of committing such a brutal crime over something so juvenile, like teenage jealousy. But I'm not being funny. Some bitch in America literally shot up a school because she didn't like Mondays. So
I'm sorry now, like, but if anyone's going to kill people over teenage shite, if anyone's going to kill someone, it's going to be a teenager over teenage shite. Because realistically, like, I'm not saying it was him, right? But if anyone is going to lose their temper and kill a couple of people, it's going to be a fucking young lad who's drunk.
Yeah.
Who's jealous of his girlfriend is whatever. Like,
and
even the case of, now this is super fucking speculative, like, I don't know. But like, even the fact that, like, he stormed off, right, he comes back. Did he catch his girlfriend doing bits with the other two? Which would could explain have. How she's not wearing pants.
Could have. And but then the other lost two were fully clothed, I suppose. I don't know. I really don't know.
It just seems really suspicious that the girl that he was with was so fucking brutally attacked, and then he was left with basically nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, it sounds like wire in his jaw, and he was grand. Like,
it sounds like a jealous rage to me.
It does, doesn't it? Like a jealous fucking blind rage. Because, right, an unidentified blunt object. Sure, that could be a fucking log of a tree. It was just something blunt. It didn't necessarily have to be like a hammer or a wrench or something like that. It could have been anything. But it could even have been like a hammer to, do like the mallets to pitch up.
I was just going to say, they have stuff to put up tents. Like, they had things like, you know, there's a load of shit. Like, even with the bikes, like, don't a lot of them have like things on them?
Like little kits, yeah. And then for the knife, sure, if they're in the woods, like, you know, the lads would have bought like little pocket knives or something with them so they could like make a fire or just try to seem like hard lads. You know what I mean? Like, if they were going out there camping, you never know, like, they could have gone, like, done a bit of fishing, anything, where they would have probably needed something. So there's no saying that there weren't things just available there to him. Like, he didn't go out with the intent to do this, but it happened, and in that moment, there was just objects at his disposal that he could fucking use to do this.
Yeah. Nah, so sad.
And in 2005, for sure, he was acquitted of all charges and awarded €44,900 as compensation for mental anguish that was caused because of the trial. I don't like that number. I feel like 44,900, like, that's a fucking, that's just not a number. Like, would you not just round it up to 5 or 50?
Yeah.
Or do you reckon they taxed it a little bit, bastards? Anyway.
No, because then they'd be like, oh, they awarded him this much. It's not about like how much he's actually given. You know what I mean? It's like in the lotto, you get a certain amount of money, they don't mention the tax. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But why is it 44,900? It's just an odd number. Like, I don't know. It's fucking weird.
It's odd.
It's really weird. But anyway, the case still remains unsolved. No new leads, no new evidence. And to this day, parents in Finland warn their children to be good or they will fall victim to the Lake Bodom Phantom, who snatches naughty children away
Jesus
from their families.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Why are you using the murder of fucking three people to traumatise your kids into being good, or otherwise a phantom is going to come and brutally fucking murder you and take you away from your family?
But it's actually not even funny because it actually happened.
It actually fucking happened. And you know what I mean? The kids can look up this now. Because if it's still being used today, all they have to do is fucking hop on Google, Lake Bodom, Phantom. The picture of these poor bastards are going to come up like, I'm like, oh shit, this actually did happen. That's trauma. That's actual trauma.
Yeah, no, I would recommend that now, to be honest.
Who do you reckon, out of the three, just say, for instance, it is one of these three and nobody else, who do you think is the likely
so
suspect?
The options are Niels, the guy, and the guy who drowned himself, and what was the third guy?
Dirty Nazi.
Oh,
I feel like Dirty Nazi's just a dirty Nazi.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. He's just a Nazi. who's trying to pretend that he's not, because, oh my god, I got conscripted into the SS about to be an officer. Yeah, no you didn't, because that's actually historically fucking correct. Mm-hmm. I would say I find Neil's very fucking sus, and like, it's always that case of, who is it? It's probably the significant other.
Always, like, isn't it something crazy, like, what, 90% of the time, or like 95% of the time?
Like, but then again, for your man to be like, go drown yourself if you did it, and then for him to go drown himself is unusual.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And it's not a case like the two of them would have fucking teamed up or anything like that, because like, Carol fucking hated teenagers, Niels was a fucking shitty teenager himself. What communication would they have apart from Carol telling him to get the fuck off his property or out of the woods, like?
I find them all very suspect, is how I would put it. But I would say, if I was to guess, my answer would probably be Niels.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Just because, like, I mean, I don't know. It just sounds fucking sus.
And I don't understand why the killer would take the keys of the motorbike so they can't get away, but sure, he had apparently bludgeoned them with that much and fucking force.
Even the way, this sounds really bad, but when you were describing, like, oh, he was found on top of her, right? To me, that sounds like, in his head, if he did it, he was like, if I lie on top of her, it's going to look like I was trying to protect her.
Protect her. Yeah. That's what I thought as well.
Oh, it looked like I was trying to protect her, so they won't, you know, and also like...
They won't think it's me.
Yeah, that I was trying to protect her, this, that and the other. But like, did he have any stab wounds like on his back?
No.
But she was stabbed after she'd already died.
Like, multiple times. So she had already died either from the slash wounds,
so where were you?
Stab wounds, or the bludgeoning.
Where were you between all that? So you waited till she died and been stabbed after she died before you lied on top of her to protect her?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me? Or did you just like stumble over and see her and you were so overcome that you just draped yourself over her?
Yeah. Literally. Like, none of it makes sense. But the whole blood on the shoes thing as well. Like, I'm still kind of a bit confused as to how... Like, they were all meant to be in this one tiny tent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were attacked from the outside. Knife was going everywhere. Hammer was going everywhere. Obviously, there would have been blood spatter. So I don't understand how blood from each other only ended up... Or their own blood only ended up on themselves. When if they were in a confined space, would there realistically not be blood spatter everywhere? No?
There definitely was. But they were just like... How would you even tell?
But this is the thing then that I'm possibly thinking. Did he murder them outside of the tent? Fuck up the tent then from the inside? And that's why he has blood spatter everywhere, but they're, like, not clean, but, like, they only have their own DNA. And, like, did he stage the scene?
Yeah, but I feel like it would be very obvious, you know? Because especially if you kill someone outside, like, would they not be covered in bits?
But probably, but then at the same time, sure, how disturbed was that crime scene? Because none of it was cornered off. People were poking and ripping everywhere that they were. Like, nothing was preserved. Because I really don't understand
how
if you were in a confined space like a fucking tent.
The other two were inside the tent still, and she was outside on top with him, on top of her.
Yeah, so basically what they were saying is because the tent was so badly shredded that she was lying on top of the shards, if that makes sense.
Yeah, she was like half in, half out because there was obviously holes in the side of the tent.
Yes. So, but I just, like, if you were, right, we're in your sitting room. We're in my sitting room, right? If you were to be slashed and stabbed, there's blood spatter everywhere.
But
everywhere.
Like, maybe they just fucked up in the testing or something. I feel like that's not possible.
I don't know, man. Because it's not possible. For not a single drop of cross or like mixed fucking DNA.
No, I say... I don't know. It like, you see when someone gets stabbed, like, and there's, like, blood spatter on the ceilings and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no way someone gets stabbed like that, like, proper knife wounds, and then it just... Because it's even when you're pulling the knife back out, you're swinging blood. Yeah,
exactly. And you're telling me a frenzied attack like that isn't going to be fucking...
But you're telling me that the girls weren't, like, scrambling all over each other, like, trying to hide, like, trying to protect each other. Like if that was me and you, like, say, for example, like, we'd be huddled together in the middle, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't be...
Yeah.
You would be touching off each other and everything, like, and even afterwards when you're kind of, like, already after being stabbed, like, would you not be like banging off each other? And
I'm not being funny. Like, I know they were probably asleep when this had happened, but you're waking up fairly fucking quickly. Like, if you ever been named to stay in your own bedroom and something falls over in the middle of the night, you wake up like straight away.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that it wasn't just like, oh, they were all asleep and they were like peacefully fucking bludgeoned and stabbed to death. No.
But then it kind of tells me as well, like, their tent, from what I can see in the pictures, is like not see through at all. Like, there's no holes in it. There's no like windows in it, from what I can see. So no. Like, I feel like you'd kind of need to know where people were in the tent.
Yeah.
But then I don't know. It's just very fucking strange.
It's very strange. I don't get it. Like, to be fair, the DNA testing probably was shoddy as fuck, because everything else relating to DNA in this evidence has been completely fucking haywire.
Yeah.
But don't fucking know. And it's been the cause of a massive fucking headache for the last God knows how long. I don't understand. I really don't understand it. Like, imagine Niels did do it and he got compensated. Like, I'm not saying this man did it, I don't want to get sued. But imagine getting a 50k payout and you did do it.
And it was 50k back then.
Imagine what that is now with inflation. Fucking
what's
Christ.
It? Inflation. Let's do inflation character. Inflation calculator. When
at
was
least
it?
An extra 10 or 20 probably. 2004. Is that before the Wall Street crash? It probably is, isn't it?
God, it was only in 2004.
No, this is when, like, he got bought to court for,
oh,
like,
okay.
44
so
years after the murder. So mine was, like, well in his fucking 50s, near 60s, like.
It was $50,000, was it?
To say. Round up. Euro.
Euro?
Yeah, sure, it happened in Finland.
Oh, fucking obviously. I'm a stupid bitch. It did it in dollars, but it's $50,000 and it's $73,000. So
what's
probably that?
Give or take. Give or take, with conversion rates, probably take like maybe 3k off it.
Yeah.
So he got nearly 20 grand plus, or like it would be 20 grand now, but, or an extra 20 grand, should I say.
That's fucking mad.
That much for it to be like, sorry about this, pal. We thought we had a bit of evidence there against you, but I am still kind of irritated at the jury to be like, nah, no one's going to brutally kill people like this over something juvenile, like jealousy. People literally go in.
I'm sorry. People do things like
murder
that for
their
no fucking reason.
Crazy shit. For no reason.
Like realistically.
Wasn't that one fella that murdered his man because she didn't let him have a house party?
Yeah. And then he had the house party.
And he left her body in there when everybody was there.
Nah, come on. Like, it's a bit fucking stupid now to be like, nah, yeah. A teenager would never kill someone over something stupid like jealousy. Have you met a teenager?
Yeah.
Have you met a teenager? Like, obviously 99% of us are normal. I say us as if I'm still one. But you know what I mean?
You know, I know what you mean, like.
As in 99% of teenagers
are like
normal, well-adjusted people. But then, like.
Yeah.
Someone takes a turn, especially if he was drinking, especially, like, was it only drink? Did they do blood tests on them?
I couldn't tell you. I'd be very fucking shocked if they didn't.
Like,
they
I
did.
Mean. Sorry. What was it back in the 60s? They could have been doing anything, like, and he could be someone who gets, if they were smoking, he could have gotten paranoid.
Could have been fucking.
They could have been
could
taking
have been
fucking
that.
Shrooms, like, they could have been taking anything.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, you don't know. And then he's like, no, I didn't do it because, do you know? Or even that could then be like another case for the guy who drowned himself, is that maybe he woke up covered in blood, kind of thing. Took a heap of drugs out in the woods and then killed people. And then wandered home and then woke up not remembering, but is like, oh my god, I
remembering
definitely was me
thing.
It's just a bit fucking sus now, to be honest.
It's a proper whodunit though, isn't it? Like, you genuinely, I feel like they all have good cases, but Hans, like Dirty Nazi, I feel like him less so, even though he had been a main suspect and he or in like three or no four other unsolved cases,
I would rule him out.
Yeah. And even though his wife said, he made me say this, probably because it, one, would look like he actually did do it, but she, like, she fucking hated him anyway because he beat the shit out of her on the reg, so.
I mean, if I was going to frame my husband for something, I'm going to be like, yeah, he made me say it. That's believable.
And by the way, did I tell you he's a dirty Nazi?
And did I tell you he beats me? And did I tell you that he was an SS officer? And did I tell you that he's a liar, you bastard?
Yeah. Like, I feel like that he would have been snatched straight up then. You're like, oh, fuck, okay, this lad's clearly an issue.
Yeah.
Let's go. Well, it's incredibly fucking frustrating. If anybody, I don't know, maybe has, like, some other fucking theory that they can come up with, maybe somebody new that we haven't discussed on here, or maybe more of a reasoning behind, like, why, if it were to be one of each person, or not one of each, but like of each person, why they would have done it. Because I can't, the only one that makes sense that would actually have a reason to be would be Niels to me.
He's the only one with a deal with like motive.
Yeah, because I know like Carl hated like teenagers or whatever, but man was swearing him out with it and pegging him with stones. Like, it's not enough to like brutally fucking murder them. Well, maybe, I don't fucking know. I don't know. And if, but I feel like at the same time there would be more like dead kids up in them woods, or more missing kids up in them woods, if it was a case where it was him. But then again, could have this just have been like his first time doing it? Maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know. But yeah, that is it. I'm thoroughly irritated from both of these. I don't know about you.
Oh, thoroughly.
That's why the unsolved ones are always a fucking pain in the arse. Like, they're great to do it because you're like, they're always like really good stories. They're like good cases to tell. But there's no payoff for it in a sense that they didn't get to rob or rot in prison, or, you know, sweet street justice happened.
Yeah.
You know, they're just out there living their fucking best life after doing something so horrific. Nobody's any answers. And I'm sorry, if it hasn't been solved within fucking 60 years, is it ever?
No. No.
It's not, like, it's not. It's not happening, like. Yours has some hope, I think, to get solved.
I think so.
Some hope.
I mean, it's only been a couple of years, like, I'd love if it did.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know.
Genuinely. I know, you actually really don't hear a lot about it, which is really fucking sad, considering, like, the family have been actively asking people, like, to spread the word. Like, you never really see people talk about it. This one in particular.
No.
I know, it's kind of shy to say as well. I'm sure, like, a lot of the times families, especially if they're new cases, don't want anything being mentioned, but people fucking still do it anyway. More than likely, like, us included.
Yeah.
Don't like any, like, true crime people. But the fact that things family are actively saying, oh, can you please spread the word? And, like, it's not that well known, I don't think.
Yeah.
That was it for anyway this week. We don't know. I'm saying as if this is going out now, so we can see when we're going to be back, because we actually do have an episode before this. The drunk episode, absolutely cracking. I was dying the next day in work. Anyway.
Lizzie did attempt to try and figure out our editing, like our sound recording system thing. And
my fucking God.
Yeah.
The ledge of the balcony was looking really appealing, that's all I'll say.
Man.
Really appealing. So lads, that's it for this week's episode for a bit of unsolved crime. Catch us God knows when. Well, maybe by the time this is out, that, well, realistically, who's going to be editing fucking anyway if not Savannah? So we're going to hope,
yeah,
we're going to pray that we will sign RSE later, hopefully the following week, from when this comes out, for God knows fucking what. Might be a serial killer. Or it might just be Mean Queevan. Actually, no, not that we have a fucking serial killer on the podcast. Lads, you know what I'm saying. Probably going to be a serial killer that we're talking about. Or two of us chatting shit. Never know, we could have another drunk episode. We could have Niamh back, who I feel like is going to be cemented as a fan favourite.
We could definitely organise to bring her back.
As our only fan. She's going to be her own fan favourite. But anyway, not the point. Not the point. 100%. And to look, is it? I don't know if there's a point in saying positive vibes and negative tests, because is COVID like pretty much gone now?
I mean, we'll do it one last time, because it's fine. It's going to have to be the one to say that we're not going to do it anymore. I think it is.
Do you know what? Yeah, who am I? Who am I to make that fucking judgment?
Who are you to make that decision? Yeah.
Who the fuck am I, Kiva? You're exactly right. How dare I try to take this way? So, until it's been discontinued by Savannah, I suppose we will say this time positive vibes and negative tests. And for Savannah, we will say always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.